Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at St. Arnold Brewing Company. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass, and it is a Friday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. And ESPN 92.5, broadcasting from St. Arnold's. St. Arnold's, always a great time, always fantastic, always has a drink for everybody. I'm sure Paul had one.
Yes, several.
They have a beer for everyone. IPAs, they have eight or so on tap. How about multi-beers? They have three or four of those. Light beers, lawnmower, grand prize, summer pills, shandy and more. Cider, they have that. Watermelon, strawberry, kiwi cider. Full wine menu, full food menu, and the beer garden's fantastic. You can see the down. Where's y'all set up?
We are on the back wall of the beer garden facing out towards the big screen TV and the highway and outside, and it is a beautiful day. It's a great spot to be.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm not out there. I got some other duties to tend to a little bit later. Justin Rose continues to lead the Masters after round two, 8 under. He shot a 71 today, so 1 under today, 7 under yesterday. I was watching some of the coverage or listening to some of the coverage driving in today, and they said he played kind of conservative today because there are some low scores. Like Rory McIlroy shot a 66 after his kind of debacle there at the end of the round. He ended up shooting a 66, so he's within two shots of the lead. DeChambeau was 4 under today. He's within a shot of the lead. Scheffler's 200 through 9. Matt McCarty, who? He shot a 68. Shane Lowry shot a 68. Rasmus Højgaard shot a 67. Hovland a 69. So, like, the course seems gettable today.
It really does, and it was kind of fun to watch early in the fact that, you know, Rory, after the kind of collapse on the final three holes where he really had it going yesterday, he found a way to kind of get back into it today. And then you just kind of watched across the course as guys just kind of attacked the par fives, and they knew the spots where they might be able to capitalize. And as you said, there's some low scores. And, you know, as much as we like to see these pros get challenges on some of these courses, it's also kind of cool when you know that's a tough track and the guys can attack it and score low.
Yeah, so that's going on right now. What's going down at Augusta? That's happening over there, so we'll see how that pans out today. But we'll have our eyes on it, see who can go low. Fun leaderboard, though, man. Like, Rose at the top, DeChambeau's there, McIlroy's there, Scheffler's there. You know, Hovland had a pretty good round today, so he's going to be amongst the final groups. Matsuyama. So it's shaping up to be a nice weekend at Augusta. We'll see how it all goes.
I think that's what's really great is the fact that, you know, you've got these big names. It's not just, you know, a tight race at the top, but you've got some names that everybody wants to see. You got the two pre-tournament favorites, like as you mentioned, with Rory and with Scotty. And Justin Rose, a hell of a story at 44 to kind of, you know, have the first two rounds that he had. So it's going to be fun to watch this weekend. And the weather's supposed to be perfect.
He's also, I mean, he's like he's a veteran, so you know he's not going to, like, melt down. Now, I mean, it's congested now. He probably wishes he would have shot maybe, you know, in the 60s today. He might feel disappointed with a 71 whenever all the other scores are around where they're at. The projected cut line's at 2 over, so we'll watch the cut line. Brooks Koepka screwed up on 18. Looks like he's going to miss the cut. He had an adventure. He quadrupled bogeyed 18.
Ooh.
He bogeyed 17, quadrupled bogeyed 18. He was 5 over. On the last two holes. He was even par for the tournament.
Oh.
In teeing off at number 17, went bogey, quadruple. So he's at 5 over. He's going to miss the cut. Our guy Nick Dunlop, who dropped that 90 burger yesterday.
Yep.
He's 3 under through 10 today.
See, I think I was going to say, the only way you can save face knowing you're not going to make the weekend is to go as low as you possibly can today just to basically show, hey, we all have bad days, but I'm still a pro golfer, because that's a rough one to come back from 90, but I'm good for him today to go 3 under. That's fantastic.
Like, what if he goes 90-68? It would be insane. So I'm following Nick Dunlap to see how he does on this back nine coming in. Probably will still finish in last place, though, because he's at 15 over. The second to last, it's 11 under, or 11 over, rather. Angel Cabrera, the felon, straight out of prison. He shot an 11 over for the first two rounds. He shot an 80 today, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's going to miss the duck, too. They called him the duck?
Yeah. El Guapo?
El Guapo means handsome.
Okay. It was something close to that, but they call him the duck. He's been known as the duck forever.
He does kind of look like a duck. Walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
Charlie Epps was his teacher.
Yeah, I think he plays a lot at the golf club of Houston. I think he plays out there quite a bit. Jonathan Vegas plays out there quite a bit, too.
Yep.
He's going to miss the cut. He's at 6 over through 16 today. Will Zalatoris, looks like he'll
John
miss
Rahm
the cut.
John Rahm saved his bacon.
What did he do?
Final, he had about a 10-footer to save par, and he was 2 over. And he knocked it down, so he'll at least make the weekend for Brian.
I mean, if the cut line doesn't get to 1 over.
Yeah, that's true. I guess with the guy still on the course, like you said, if they're going low, there's a chance.
Yeah, like it's going to be kind of close. What is the cut of the Masters? Is it top 50?
Is it 50 in ties?
No, I think it's 50 in ties or within 10 shots of the lead, but Rose is 8 under. So, well, okay. Yeah, he will make the cut then, because he's within 10 shots of the lead, because he's 2 over, and Rose is at 8 under, unless somebody else jumps him, which is possible, because Scheffler's making the turn at 9, and he's 6 under. Yeah, so Rahm's not a slam dunk yet.
No.
It's trending in that direction. There's also 8 guys that are tied for 50. Like, 1 over, there's only 40. I'm going to have to – this it still might get to 1 over.
That would be interesting. And you know, ooh, from a live perspective, at least, I mean, your boy DeChambeau went really low today. So,
yeah, he's a good golfer.
He's crazy. Just the stories they were telling about just how just methodical he is about everything that he does. And, like, he's hitting shots with his driver, and then off a shot track, he's taking a Sharpie and writing on the bottom of the driver all the statistics so he can figure out, like, on a hole-by-hole basis, which is the best driver for him and then which one he should put in the bag.
Yeah, Brian just texted me that the projected cut is +2 currently. Thank you, Brian. I can read a scoreboard here. If it's top 50,
he's doing the hard work for you early.
My goodness, yes. Yes, I understand that it's 2 over. I'm saying that the cut could potentially move to 1 over because right now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys tied for 42, tied for 42nd. So if one more guy gets to 1 over – well, your top 50 golfers are at 1 over or worse. And if Scheffler can get to 9 under, now they're not within 10 shots of the lead. I know the projected cut line is currently +2. I'm saying it could move. And it wouldn't take a lot.
Is that analytics or simple math? Just asking.
Brian, who doesn't know how a cut line works, trying to mansplain to me what a cut line is.
that's fantastic.
Brian, this isn't my first rodeo here. I know a thing or two about golf. My dad teaches golf. Yeesh, mansplaining. I'm waiting for him to interject to see if he has a defense for himself. Brian, do you have a defense for yourself?
Evidently, that's a no.
Yeah, I think I made him mad.
It'll be interesting to see in our little pool, too.
Rory made a run.
Yep.
I don't even know who I drafted, so.
You got a good team.
Yeah, I don't know anything behind Scheffler.
Well, you got Scotty and DeChambeau and Oberg, so those are your three probably. I got Rory, and then I've got Hovland, JT, Xander, Cantlay.
They got rid of the within 10 shots of the lead. So the cut line, yeah, Google AI just told me. The top 50 golfers plus ties make the cut. They got rid of that thing in the 2020 tournament.
Okay.
So that makes the possibility of 2 over missing the cut much more likely. Because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's currently 8 guys that are tied for 42nd. If one more guy gets to 1 over, it's going to move the cut line. And you have Willett at 2 over at 14. Keegan Bradley's 2 over at 10. Tony Finau's 2 over at number 8. And then you have a couple of guys at 3 over that are on the back 9. And you have some guys that are 4 over that would have to finish hot, but they're on the back 9 too.
And if Scheffler goes low on the back 9, then...
Well, Scheffler doesn't matter anymore. because they got rid of the 10 shots of the rule, 10 shots of the lead.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that used to be something, but it's no. They got rid of that in 2020.
So, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Texter just let us know, too. They don't do the 10-shot difference any longer, just top 50 in ties. Another Texter, they got rid of the within 10 strokes a few years ago. I don't like that they got rid of that, though. I always liked that because I felt like 10 strokes at Augusta, two more rounds, 36 holes, like you have a shot.
Yeah,
you
because
have a chance.
It's not like some of these, you know, the tricked-out courses that these guys played during the regular schedule of the tour where, you know, it's not unheard of that they could be flirting with, you know, 59, 60. They can go low, low, low. There are holes that are gettable every day at the Masters, but you're not going to put together, you know, the 63s and the low rounds like that. So you're probably right. Over a two-day period to make up 10 strokes, that's quite an accomplishment, you know, if you can get close to it. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I mean, I just like all the big names that are kind of hovering near the top.
Kugblay says go Freddie. Freddie holed out for eagle yesterday on one of those holes. He's at one over. He's got a few holes to play. He's at he's through 13. He's currently plus one, so he's currently in but is on that bubble. One of the ones that I'm watching is Bernard Longer. Longer's playing his final Masters, yep. He announced. He's even par for the tournament. He's two under today through 14. He could make the cut in his final Masters of his career.
He always plays well there. You know, I always talk about the fact that there are guys that just know the blueprint. You don't have to be excessively long on that course. You just have to know every undulation of where to put the ball in the fairway and on the greens. He always seemingly plays well there. Last year, Couples set the record for oldest to make the cut. And as you mentioned, he's got a chance to do that again this year. But then you got Longer, who's older than him by, I think, 6 or 7 years.
Hold on a second. He's got it. You said Couples is the oldest to make the cut?
That's what they said. After he made the cut last year, he was the oldest to make the cut. So if Longer makes it this year,
okay,
then he would reset the record.
They're only 2 years apart.
Okay.
They're only 2 years apart. Couples made it in 23. He missed the cut last year.
Okay.
I'm surprised Longer hasn't made the cut within the last
three to four years. His opening round seems to always be where he's right there near the first page. It's weird.
Oh, dang. I would have never guessed this. Longer hasn't made the cut since 2020.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought he made it more recently. So Fred Couples making it in 2023 is the oldest to make the cut, and he's currently 65, so he was 63 years old when he made the cut. And both of those guys could break that record. Obviously, if they both do it, Longer's 2 years older, so he would have that record. Like, if I made the cut at the Masters, there's no way that I'm not playing next year. Like, my final year of the Masters is going to be when I miss the cut.
Yeah, when the game has passed me by, when the guys are not only, you know, blowing it by me on every but if I'm not scoring well enough and I'm embarrassing myself by going like 15 over in a 2 day span, then I shouldn't be playing anymore. But, you know, when you see the guys doing the honorary first tee and they're barely knocking it 120 yards down the fairway, you're like, yeah, you're probably well past your prime to compete the tournament. But if you're Longer and Couples and guys like that, and there's a couple other guys that are older that are still, you know, hovering around par, that's pretty damn impressive.
One of the one-over guys moved to two-over, so making it a little bit more likely for John Rahm. I really wanted to move to one-over, though, just for the sake of ticking Brian off. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Lots to get to. Astros return to baseball today. They're back home. They're taking on the Angels in a big divisional matchup, three-game series beginning tonight. We'll talk some about the Rockets a little bit as well. Todd Callis will be joining us at 7. We have to play that stupid game, Who Said It. But let's talk about the Jalen Petrie contract. Jalen Petrie signed to a 3-year extension today. Good deal, bad deal? What do you think? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey guys, before we go to the...
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at St. Arnold Brewing Company. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees at St. Arnold's, beer for everybody, whether it's IPA, whether it's the the light beers, whether it's the malty beers, even if you like cider, that's the way to go too. You don't even have to drink when you go out there. Now, it would be a lot better if you did, but you don't have to. A full food menu that's fantastic. They have wine if that's more your lane as well. So get on out there. Also, Joe wanted us to mention, don't forget it is our prize pickup party. Prize pickup party. Alliteration for days. But prize pickup party for Bracket Madness. You received an email. Head over to the promo table. Give them your information. And they're going to give you your prize as you pick it up at the prize pickup party. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Jalen Petrie, 3 years, $39 million extension. You can do the math, $13 million per year. What did you think of the deal when you heard about it, Blakers?
I was surprised, very surprised. I think that we've had a discussion a couple times on the show about the fact that I personally didn't think that they were going to re-sign him. I thought that they would end up moving on from him because I thought that there are teams and there are guys like Gruden and, you know, teams that are going to be enamored with his ability to play at the line of scrimmage and play physical. And I have questions about his coverage and what his price tag would be. And then to see that they got it done and to see that he got that kind of money, I think I'm even more surprised. The fact that they were willing to give him 13 a year for 3 years seems excessive to me. And I'm not sure that he's worth that. I know that they're hell-bent on trying to say that they take care of their players if they play the right way and all that, but does he play the right way in coverage? Because I don't think he's great in coverage, but, I mean, so I would just say I was surprised.
Yeah, I think that they like his mentality. I think they like his leadership. I think they like his swarminess. I think he, like, plays the way that they want from guys. Like, they play hard, relentless effort, and you know, they're committed to football and they love the game. Like we talk about swarm a lot. Mm-hmm. Smart. Like, I think Jalen Petrie's smart. Work ethic. I think he has a great work ethic. Relentless mindset. I think he has those things. So, like, I think he checks off the boxes of the acronym, right? Now, Whenever I look at the deal, I don't like the contract. Now, it's not crazy long, right? It's only 3 years, so it's not, you're not committing to 5 years of Jalen Petrie. I do want to see where the guarantees are. I haven't seen that yet, but $13 million per year, 39 over three, makes him the highest paid nickel corner in the league, and I don't think that Jalen Petrie is the best nickel corner in the league. It's $29 million guaranteed for Jalen Petrie. I think that's too much money. I don't like extending Jalen Petrie. I wanted at some point, whenever Jalen Petrie was in the final year of his deal and left in free agency, I wanted to bump Kamari Lassiter inside because I think Kamari Lassiter would be an all-pro nickel. I really do believe that. He's good outside. Like, don't twist my words around here. I like Kamari Lassiter a lot outside. But I think Kamari Lassiter's best position is inside, and I think you can get a better outside corner than Jalen Petrie is at the nickel, especially for cheaper than $13 million per year. So I don't think that Jalen Petrie is the best nickel corner in the league, so I don't think he should be paid like the best nickel corner in the league, and I don't think he has the coverage skills good enough to be the highest paid nickel corner in the league.
I agree. I think I saw somewhere that it was like 30 guaranteed.
Yeah, I said 29 just now.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you follow up on that. I heard you say you hadn't seen it. I just was...
No, I haven't seen, like, the way that it's set up in terms of years.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't think he's close to – I mean, I think he has his moments. I think, like I said, from a physicality, tackling, getting into the backfield kind of nickel corner, he does all those things, checks all those boxes. He's really good. But in coverage, I think that he is less than really good. And I think that that's why the deal surprised me. I know that they've been focused on trying to outwardly promote how they're going to take care of their young guys, wrap up their young core, do all those kind of things. I think that's too much money for a guy like him.
Yeah, it sounds like we're on the same page here. 713-780-ESPN if you disagree. Ocho in the Twitch says the Petrie can't even cover his mouth when he sneezes. I don't understand the fascination with him. I think he's a poor cover guy. Like, at best, he's average at covering. And, like, I need a guy who can cover. Like, that's the name of the game for a corner. Like, yes, he's good at tackling in the box. Yes, he's good getting to the quarterback the rare times that they want him to get to the quarterback. But if your coverage skills are average, how in the world are you getting top nickel corner money? Doesn't add up to me. Kugblay is going to be eating that contract in 2 years, and then Tony the Handsome says, Petrie, all pro, book it. XX Ron wasn't the talk of bringing Lassiter inside when we all kind of doubted him outside when drafted. Now that we've seen him perform outside, I think he's better than we thought. No, he's good. He's good as an outside corner. I still think his better position is inside. And if the Houston Texans are going to play 95% of their snaps in nickel, in fact, it was more than 95% of their snaps, if they're going to play that level of snaps in nickel, why not bring in a better outside corner than Petrie is inside and bump Lassiter inside where I think he could be an all-pro? So I didn't like it. I thought they were going to let him walk whenever his rookie contract was up.
The other thing that's interesting about this is now, because of what we talked about previously and what you just said as well, when we start looking at what the Texans are going to be looking for from a draft perspective, do they start looking at a corner somewhere in this draft? Just because they're going to, whether you move Lassiter inside or outside, you know that Lassiter and Sting are your two main guys, but you're going to need another one. And I'm interested to see, you know, from a backup perspective, and also because you might be moving some things around, and obviously Petrie can't play inside. Now Petrie's your inside guy. You got your two corners, but I heard John and Lance this morning, and I kind of like, wait, what? They were trying to prioritize what the Texans would be looking at the draft, and they said offensive line and then corner. And I'm like, I didn't see it, but then I hadn't seen the Petrie news yet. But maybe that's something that they will target in the draft, too, to kind of groom someone else. I don't know.
How does extending Petrie make them need corner?
Not that they need them, but I'm just interested to see what, you know, if there's a reason why you're trying to build depth and do that. You're right. When I was thinking about that, it was because I had said it previously, and you had said moving Lassiter inside, then they would need a corner on the outside. But now that they've wrapped up Petrie,
they don't
need a starting caliber corner. That's like Kuiper yesterday thinking that they were going to draft safety. I didn't see them looking at defensive backs, but yeah, now you don't need to because now you got your three guys wrapped up. That's
well,
my mistake.
Kuiper had him drafted an offensive lineman. We play the game.
Oh, that's right. The next four.
Yeah. So like Kuiper, yeah. I don't want to drag Kuiper. We do enough of that on our own. Now they did sign Ronald Darby to be that backup outside corner, and then look, Jimmy Ward's probably your backup safety, backup nickel right now. Yeah. So I don't think that there's great demand or need for corner. Now if you love a dude who's there in the fourth round, okay, cool, draft the best player available. But I would be stunned if they draft a corner with a first, second, or third round pick.
Yeah, I was curious if Lance and John might change their thought process once they heard about Petrie signing. I don't know, but I mean, I would think that their priority now more than ever before is going to be, you know, offensive lineman and wide receiver, and then go from there, maybe interior defensive line.
Texture I like, because if he had a good year, you really got him for cheap other than him wanting more or testing the market. Okay, that's a valid point. Like if Jalen Petrie next year, now Petrie would have to have a career year, but if Jalen Petrie next year is just like fantastic, best nickel in the league, then you do get him at a discount. But how much are we believing that he's going to play to the level of being the best nickel in the league? I would say that that's pretty far-fetched.
No, I agree with you. I do. And I think that, you know, like you're not going to question if they wrap up Will Anderson. You're not going to question the obvious one. They're going to wrap up CJ. They're trying to wrap up their guys. I just didn't think Petrie was one of those guys. I thought he was a guy that, look, in a lot of ways, you know, you were trying to find a home for him where he could play his best football. You did that by moving him from safety to nickel. I just, because of his coverage skills, and because of what I thought the open market would command, because people were enamored with his ability to hit and the things that we mentioned, I didn't think he was going to be a Texan after his contract was over.
I think they paid for a culture guy more than they paid for a guy who's going to play at an extremely high level. Texture, why are you all so hard on Petrie even last year? And I think he's a really good player and deserves that money. He's being paid the top nickel corner money in the league. Do you think that Jalen Petrie is the best nickel corner in the league? If you do not, then the Texans overpaid today. Yep. Texture, why did Petrie go to corner to begin with? Wasn't he drafted as a safety? Because he was getting burned. Because he was getting killed in coverage. Because teams were having explosive play after explosive play against him. He was giving up tons of explosive plays. So they're like, let's play him in a spot that better magnifies his skill set better. Let's move him inside where he can't give up those explosives. He can hit the box. He's not bad in like zone and stuff like that. But he still gets picked apart in man, like quick slots. If you go man coverage, then Jalen Petrie's getting burnt a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't take great angles to the ball either. So no, that's exactly why he got moved, and he found a home. But I didn't think he'd find a home and be the highest paid player at that said position and that the Texans would take care of him. I expected him to be elsewhere.
Yeah. Texter, I thought Jalen was like a hype safety or something like Tyrann Mathieu. They do have similar skill sets, and they do kind of play all over the place. Now, Jalen Petrie, not so much last year. Like, they don't want him at safety. They played him at nickel because, again, he was getting burned a lot at safety, giving up huge chunk plays, and they wanted to move him to a spot that better that gave him a better chance for his skill set. Zach, is it time for the award-winning segment, Who Said It? Eh, we have to play it later. Not time yet, but eventually, yeah. But, yeah, so it sounds like we're all in agreement here. No, not a ton of argument. XX Texans are doing something right with their secondary. Maybe Petrie will improve in cover game. Last season, that secondary is recognized on the national level. Petrie also missed 5 games last year. He missed a couple of games the year before that, too. So, like, you know, throw that in there as well, I guess.
Look, I think that they do between Bullock and the young corners that they have. The biggest thing that you have to say is because of the defensive line that they had last year, that does take that's an added bonus for your secondary because the quarterback has less time to throw because you've got a ton of guys putting pressure on the quarterback and getting back in the backfield being disruptive. So I think that's as big a factor as anything other than besides the fact that you have two really talented cover corners on the outside.
Are they paying too many players? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from St. Arnold's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Michael Luster, and the beautiful River Ranch Dayton community. They're just putting the finishing touches on building this wonderful community out in Dayton, Texas. Dayton, Texas, just far enough away from Houston, but not too far that you can't drive it in the commute every single day. It's a great commute. It's an easy commute. It's only anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, 45 minutes about to get there. And once you get there, you get that country life while working in the big city. You get to the country lifestyle of being able to enjoy a 3-car garage, a good-sized house, an unbelievably warming and secure, comfortable community. And then on top of it, it's all the amenities that come with it. They have their own massive Angel Lagoon. It's crystal blue waters. It's white sand beaches. It's a swim-up bar. And it's all for just the residents of River Ranch Dayton. And they also have a dog park, a fitness facility, pickleball courts, and so much more. It's all for the residents, and you can get in now because these houses are going to go up. The values are going to increase. Right now you can get a house anywhere from the 200s to the 500s, and the values will continue to be a great investment for you. You got to check them out today. All the top builders are also involved in making these wonderful houses. Go to RiverRanchDayton.com or call my good friend Michael Luster right now, 870-754-9164. 870-754-9164. Michael is really innovative and really, really good at what he does. If you're trying to get out of a lease or you're renting currently but you'd like to get into a property there, he has ways to help you get there and make it simple and easy. They're fantastic. It's beautiful. Check out RiverRanchDayton.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at St. Arnold Brewing Company.
St. Arnold's has a drink for everybody. Hey, if you like wine, they have that. They have great food, IPAs, good malts, good light beers, good ciders. They have it all. 713-780-ESPN. Maybe they move Petrie to a strong safety position and put Gardner Johnson at the nickel. That's not happening. Petrie's the nickel corner for the Houston Texans. They've already quit him as the safety. They didn't like him there.
And D'Amico really likes him because he likes to move him around and blitz him from different spots, too. And yeah, I think those days are long gone in terms of him playing any kind of safety for this team.
I mean, he'll line him up in different spots, but he's always lined up as the nickel corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying he's not going to play safety again. D'Amico just moves him around from the nickel, and, you know, he loves his physicality. And, you know, again, I think that they continue to try and send a message that if you play our way, the right way, you swarm, you do all these things, that they're going to take care of you. And then you start questioning at a certain point, like, how many guys can they take care of?
Yeah. So are the Texans paying too many people? They've locked up several. A lot of their young players that they've re-signed. Do you think that they're paying too many?
I think that they're dangerously close, yes. And I think that, you know, you're still at a certain point. I just think about it from a financial perspective because of all the money they spent in free agency a year ago, because of the fact that, you know, you're paying and you've extended Hunter. You're going to have to play CJ. You're going to have to get a deal done with Will. You still have all the guys you've already taken care of. And you look at it, Nico and others, and you say at a certain point, are you going to end up being one of those teams that is going to be in, you know, financial strife when it comes to being able to go out in free agency, and you're going to have to get creative to try and free up funds when you need it, because you're going to be really, really tight with all the contracts that you've already signed.
Yeah, I think that I like the way that he's staggering them in terms of years, though. Like, I think he's doing it pretty well with the idea that he's going to pay C.J. Stroud at some point. So I think he's doing a good job of staggering the years to whenever they do pay Stroud, that it kind of lines up. Now, one thing that they're very clearly telling us, like, we didn't know an identity for the offense last year, and like that was kind of like the buzzword, like identity, and people usually that, like, if you're not winning, you don't have an identity. But even like whenever Bobby Slowick was pressed, he was kind of like, yeah, you know, we do what we do. The Texans are being very obvious with what they're going to be. Like, they're going to be a defensive minded team. They're going to be defense first. They're probably going to want to run the ball down your throat and try to be efficient on third downs and things like that. But with the way that they've paid these players, whether it's, you know, Danielle Hunter, whether it's Derek Stingley, whether it's Jalen Petrie, whether it's trading for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, although that was a favor because, you know, the Eagles took Kenyon Green back.
Yeah.
They're telling you that the priority, the most important phase, and it probably should be because D'Amico Ryans is your head coach, they're telling you that their phase that they're most concerned about is on the defensive side.
You're right. And in doing so, I think that they're also kind of indirectly telling you that with that philosophy in mind, that they're probably going to be looking at another running back because Joe Mixon's another year older, because we know that Dameon Pierce, you know, as much as he had a great first year, you know, he's a very, you know, straightforward runner. And if they're going to want to, you know, pound the football, and they're going to want to be a running team that controls, you know, the ball and the clock and beats you with defense, I'm curious if instead of me being so hell-bent on them getting a receiver, I'm curious if their focus might not be to, you know, get another running back, continue to stock up the defense, and just continue to, you know, like you said, live by that identity.
It just feels like, because it's a salary cap league, right? It's not baseball. You can't pay everybody. It feels like Jalen Petrie would be below the line you would draw where, okay, we have these core guys that we have to, you know, return. We have to return Stroud. You know, we have to return Stingley and Will Anderson. The superstar players, the difference makers, the guy that are the playmakers. Petrie feels like, because of his limited abilities in coverage, I don't know, he just feels replaceable to me. I know he hits hard. I know he's a swarm guy. They like his mentality. But a nickel corner who can't cover is not somebody that I'm making sure I go out and pay top of the market for his position. I just think you have to draw a line at who's replaceable and who's not. We pay who's not replaceable. And Petrie, because he can't cover at nickel corner of all places, feels highly replaceable.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think that, you know, for everything that we've covered on that already, I think all three of us have been in agreement for quite a while. And, Jeremy, you and I have talked about it specifically a couple of times, that within the next year to 2 years, they would be looking for a replacement for him because, you know, the more that his hits make SportsCenter and the more people are talking about his physicality, someone was probably going to overpay him. I didn't think the Texans were going to be that team, and I think we all have identified that of all the skills that position requires, his coverage is really what is questionable.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texture, we better pay these players because Houston has a history of letting players go and then they end up with Super Bowl rings. We basically had given away our whole Super Bowl team, so go ahead and pay them. I wonder who he's talking about. Like, who have the Texans let go in their primes that turned out to be really good? Like, they traded Hopkins.
Justin Reed, maybe?
Yeah, Reed they let go after his rookie contract, and he was good. He was good. Like, I don't think that Justin Reed was, like, elite, though. I don't think he was a top-tier safety. Like,
sure.
I don't really have any problem with the way that they handled Justin Reed. He was still good. He was still a good player. But, like, those are the kind of guys you let go after their rookie contracts. Like, those are the kinds of guys you draft. You get really good return of a rookie contract. And then whenever they cash in, you let them walk. See, I actually thought that the way that they handled Justin Reed was going to be the exact same way that they handled Jalen Petrie. That's why I was surprised to see this.
No, yeah, I thought they were very similar players, too. I thought that, again, much the same as, you know, Reed leaving because he got more money and he got a team that really wanted him, I thought that he was a big hitter. I thought that he was probably a little better in coverage than Petrie, but I expected him to leave when he did, and I wasn't heartbroken when he left because I didn't think he was worth, you know, even the money that he signed for. So I look at this and I go, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, DeMeco back in the day. I don't think that, you know, there was anything where he left in his prime. J.J. Watt, they obviously retained. You're right. I think Hopkins is the big one where you can say, yeah, we, you know, they took a guy that was one of the top three receivers in the league at the time and traded him away. But, I mean, who else is there?
Someone texted Jacoby Jones. Like, come on.
Oh, stop it. Come on.
He's just a guy.
I guess you could say Laremy Tunsil. I mean, the situation's different, but he's still in his prime.
Yeah, but they traded him, though. Like, I feel like it's different,
I know, but, I mean, they traded away DeAndre Hopkins. We brought him up in conversation, so I thought we were including trades.
Well, yeah, well, I think I said whenever the Hopkins, but that was trade.
Okay, I might have misheard.
Maybe not. I might have not. Blankers might have cut me off. I'm just kidding. Someone says he's probably referring to whenever Kubiak went to Denver and took some of our players. See, if you can't name a player, then somebody said Brandon
Daniels.
Brooks. Brandon Brooks was pretty good.
What's his name? The guy that had all the personal foul penalties.
Kareem Jackson?
Jackson.
He was old.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he was in his prime.
He didn't go to Denver when Kubiak was there. Mario Williams said somebody. Yeah.
He was good for Buffalo.
He had some good years after they left.
Clowney,
but he was also paid a lot.
When was Clowney's prime? I mean, I think he always underachieved. He had a couple of decent years.
Are they thinking about Honey Badger as one of them? Honey Badger's only here for 1 year, too. He was kind of a rental. Like, he wasn't somebody you drafted and then, you know, let go. He was somebody that you signed for a 1 year deal. He played pretty well and then left. Like, I thought that they handled Honey Badger just fine, too.
I actually thought they were going to bring him back. And he kind of jumped ship rather quickly. It seemed like he had bought in to everything that they had going here. I was surprised it was only 1 year. But
well,
yeah, again,
I think he got too much money. I think he got a contract that the Texans were like, okay, well, we're not going to pay that. That's more than you're worth. And I also think it's dangerous to look at previous general manager regimes. Like, we shouldn't be comparing what Nick Caserio's regime looks like versus Brian Gain or, you know, Charlie Casserly. Like, to me, you should look at each GM differently because they all have different mantras. Like, Nick Caserio is super aggressive. Nick Caserio is a Will and Dylan son of a gun. Nick Caserio likes splashes. Probably the most splashy general manager the Texans have had. Texter says Nick will release or restructure who he needs to when the time is right, and Nick, I trust. Okay, that's an interesting question. Do you trust Nick Caserio?
I think I do. I think that as much as, you know, we've analyzed and I said prior to the draft that got you Will and CJ, that I thought that if he had another year like the year he had previous to that draft, that we might be talking about him really firmly on the hot seat. And instead, you know, they took the guys they did. He's had good drafts. And like you said, he's been really aggressive, but he's brought in really good players. I don't think that he's really missed on a lot of players that he brought in from both free agency, and he's had really good drafts. So I really have a lot of trust in Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I do too. I trust Caserio. And while I would not have signed Petrie, like, am I mad about this? I wouldn't say I'm mad. Like, I'm probably at a four, maybe. Like, still pretty tame, even though I don't like it. Texas Honey Badger left us. DeMeco came up in the Bob McNair culture of signing good guys, and I think he rewards those kind of players. I think he wants to reward swarmy players. I will agree with that. He wants to reward guys who he thinks are smart, that have fantastic work ethic, that have a relentless mindset. Jalen Petrie checks every single one of those boxes, no doubt. So perhaps this is DeMeco like, hey, look, if you do these things, we're going to take care of you. Now, his value on the football field, do I think it's worthy of $13 million a year, which is the most of any nickel corner in the league? I don't. But I do think the reason they signed him is because he is a swarmy player. Texter, who's letting their good nickel corner go? So who could you replace him with? You wouldn't have to replace him this year. Like, he was going into the final year of his contract. So he wasn't going anywhere. And then the answer to this would be, well, you're trying to draft a corner in the second or the third, whether it's this year or next year, to be his eventual replacement, whether it's outside or bumping Kamari to inside. So that would be the answer there. But you wouldn't have to do it this offseason.
And there's always guys, especially guys that, you know, you transition from when they start losing a half step from the outside to the inside. There's always going to be guys on the free agency market at different levels that you can fill a gap, you know, with and you can have a short-term fix for if that's the case, or guys that are going to be available. But you're right. The number one priority and the way to fix that is what we had talked about previously, which is in this draft you start looking at guys that might be the, you know, you might start grooming, you draft them and groom them to be the heir apparent to when Petrie walked, and now that's not going to be an issue.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN-HRNP, listener line. We'll take your thoughts on this. Also, when we come back, keep watching these Mavs. Will Fred Couples make the cut, be the oldest ever? Will Bernard Longer make the cut, be the oldest ever? Also, I got a Masters game for you guys. We'll play that on the other side. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The Masters, a tradition unlike any other. HRNP is a company unlike any other. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs, has been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. Hello, friends. HRNP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. And if you ask them nicely, maybe a pimento cheese sandwich. Maybe, if you ask them nicely. HRNP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRNP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRNP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to nobody. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll always be calling someone familiar with you and familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at St. Arnold Brewing Company.
St. Arnold's, great spot. They have a beer for everyone. Whether it's the Maltese, the IPAs, the light beers, a full wine menu. Full food. If you're hungry, then you need a bite. Beautiful scenery at St. Arnold's. Downtown backdrop. Joel Blank. ESPN 97.5 and all of your fellow patrons that like a good drink. Do you know what the holes are named after at Augusta? Every hole at Augusta National has a name for said hole. Do you know the theme behind the names of the holes?
Would it be the greenery and the flowers and such in the area or on the property?
Pretty close. A tradition unlike any other. They name each and every one of their holes after either a tree or a shrub that is on the property. So it's very close. Yeah, it's very close. So I have for you every name of every hole at Augusta National. I have 18 fake ones that are not named after any of the holes at Augusta National. Augusta National or other. Would you like to play a game unlike any other?
Let's do it.
All right. Brian, you getting in on this?
Sure, of course.
The first one. Shrub Rose.
Shrub Rose?
Correct.
I will say that that is a fake name.
It sounds too generic. I'm going to say fake name as well.
Nothing gets by you guys. The golf course not too hard for you. 1-1 Both of you in front. The next one on this illustrious list unlike any other. Tea Olive.
I'll say hole at the Masters.
I'll say fake.
T. Olive is hole number one.
Mm. Oh, look at that.
Well it done, is the Joel. First hole at Augusta National. When you're teeing off and you tee at number one, it is the par four beauty of a hole. Next up on the list, Blankers leads by one. Flowering crab apple.
I guess I'll go first here. Joel went first the first two times. I'll say flowering crab apple. Real.
I will. I mean, I think it says flowering. I'm going to say that it's a hole at the Masters.
Flowering crab apple is a hole at the Masters. It is number four. It is the first par three the beautiful track.
Okay.
Blanker still leads by one. Next up, hole on the Masters or not a hole on the Masters. Sweet shrub.
Brian, since I went first twice.
Okay, sure. Again, that sounds kind of generic. I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, that to me definitely sounds like a hole somewhere on the north side at a course here. But I don't think that you're going to just call it a shrub. So I'll say fake name.
Did y'all get the crabapple right, both of you?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, sweet shrub is fake. Blankers 4-0, Brian's 3-1. Next up, Nandina.
Nandina. Me, Brian?
Yes.
Nandina. Is it a name or is it a plant? I'll say, I don't know, hold the Masters.
I will agree. That doesn't sound made up. It's too weird. I'll say that's real.
It is hole number 17 at Augusta. Nandina, also known as a heavenly bamboo.
There you go.
As you would.
As you would.
Okay. I'll take Masters. You could have told me a lot of things.
Of bamboo growing in Augusta?
Next up, honeysuckle.
All right. You want to switch back to every other here?
Yes.
Okay. Honeysuckle, that feels like someone who's trying to get us to buy in that honeysuckle sounds very Georgia, but is so generic that it's not. I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Brian. I'm going to say honeysuckle again. Sounds like a course maybe here in Texas somewhere, but I'm not feeling it for
you
Georgia.
You guys are good. Yeah, that one's right. 6-0 Blankers, 5-1 Brian. Next up, boxwood.
Is this me, Brian?
Yes.
I'm going to say boxwood. I got boxwoods in my front lawn. Maybe that's the key. I'll say because I have boxwoods on my property. I'm going to say that it's a fake name.
I'm going to go real here. That sounds real to me.
Boxwood is fake.
Ah.
Yes. You got it right, Joel.
I know. I said yes. At first, I thought I got it wrong, but okay.
Oh, I thought you said ah. Next up, Sequoia.
Sequoia. I'll say real.
Oh, it's a car I used to drive. I'll say fake.
Sequoia's a fake one. These are giant trees found in California. Mm. Blinkers 8-0. Brian's 5-3.
Ouch.
Next up on our list, nine bark.
Who's first, Brian? Me or
Joel?
You,
Joel.
How come they're having so much trouble on who's going first here?
I'm not.
Nine bark?
Yes.
Joel's
buying time to Google.
I'm not. I can't. Look, it's not exactly easy to hear here. Nine bark, I will say, is fake.
I need to catch up, so I'll say it's real.
Nine bark is not real.
Damn it.
Nine bark, and Blankers is 9-0. Brian's missed 4 in a row.
Choking.
Drops 3 in a row. Drops to 5-4. Next up, yellow jasmine.
Yellow. Oh, that sounds Augusta. I'll say a yellow jasmine's real.
For sure. Yeah, that sounds very, very Augusta nationally. I would absolutely say it's a hole at the Masters.
Yellow jasmine is the par 5, 8th hole at Augusta National. Hole number 9, Carolina cherry.
Well, we're in Georgia. It's a Carolina. I'm going to say fake name.
I mean, I believe Jeremy just had a whole 9 accidentally before he said it, so I'll say real.
I screwed up. Okay. Yeah, Carolina cherries are real whole.
Thank
whole
you.
Nine.
Okay. Point me, because Jeremy gave it away.
I didn't hear it. I told you it's hard to hear here. I didn't hear it.
That's why I sat out. I want to make sure I didn't give that to you in case you didn't hear Jeremy give
it
to me.
I did not hear it.
I said hole nine, Carolina cherry. Blinker's first one he missed.
My bad.
So
I'm down by three?
All right, next up. Yeah, you're down. You're 10-1. Blinker's 7-4. We'll just do a few more.
Well, reverse that, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm 10-1.
Beautiful Barry.
Beautiful Barry. That sounds generic to me. I'll say fake.
Yeah, I worked with him. I'm going to say it's fake.
That is fake. Beautiful Barry's fake. Juniper.
Joel?
I'll say that's a hole at the Masters.
How many are left?
I'm not telling you.
Okay. Well, I agree with Joel. I think that's real. I won't play the game yet.
Juniper is the second par three on the front nine at Augusta. It's hole number six. White dogwood.
Okay. Dogwood, it's a tree, right? And I think that's also a term for the setup of a hole. I'll say that's real.
You said white dogwood?
Correct.
I got a train going on in the background, too. Sorry. I can't hear everything. I'll say it's a hole at the Masters.
Yeah, white dogwood. Of course it's a hole at the Masters. It's number 11. Okay. It's the 505-yard 11th hole.
What's his name? Johnson is not the head of the Masters anymore, so we're trying to clear that up.
Firethorn.
Joel?
Firethorn? Sounds like it's too corny to be anything but a hole at the Masters. Hole at the Masters.
You're saying hole? Okay, I'm going to play the game and say fake.
It is hole 15.
Damn it!
At Augusta National. It is the par 5 15th.
Brian's like me on most of the heat. Brian sounds competitive today.
I just wanted to be close down to the last one, but
we're done. Joel did really good. Okay. 14-1. He hit 14.
The only one he missed
correct.
When he gave him the answer.
Yeah, I gave it away and he missed it. He could have swept
two.
It. No, you missed one.
Okay.
You missed one. Brian did fair. He did 10-5. It's not bad. Not bad.
I'm curious. I wonder why no holes with azaleas and azaleas on 12 are so popular.
Hole 13 is azalea.
Oh, okay.
Hole 13s, we just didn't get to that one. We didn't get to many of them. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I didn't get to 10 real holes. I didn't get to hole 14, Chinese fir. Hole 13, azalea. Hole 18, holly. Hole 3, flowering peach. Hole 5, magnolia. Hole 7, pampas. Hole 2, pink dogwood. Hole 12, golden bell. Hole 10, camellia. And hole 16, redbud.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't get to any of them.
Your boy Freddy's at plus 3 now.
Oh, uh-oh. No. Come on. One time, Freddie. Give me a birdie
Seriously.
Down the stretch here.
No?
I thought we retired that thing.
But he is a Coug. Go Cougs. Come on, Fred.
I was talking about the little drop.
I know.
We got to talk about this guy peeing in Race Creek. We'll do that on the other side. Also, have Astro fans gotten spoiled? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MacWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.